Action Team with Steve Riggs begins now.
I want to welcome Michael Hebron to the Lesson Team. Michael, how are you today?
Good morning. Pleased to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Could you give listeners just a kind of a thumbnail of your master's thesis, the inside and the outside?
Sure. I worked for a man, Gene Borick, who at the time was probably the leading club professional player in the country during the late 60s and early 70s. He was kind of a Bob Ford, Dal Kessner kind of person. And I was there a few days, about a week or two, and he said, you know, I really enjoyed talking with you. He said, you should write. I said, what do you mean? He says, write down your thoughts. So you read all these different books and your thoughts about coaching, your thoughts about playing, and I've written every day since. After years of doing that, when I became the head professional at Smithtown Landing, I had several notebooks filled with notes that I had accumulated over the last 10 or so years. And I gave them to the office manager at the time, and I said, type these up. And that became See and Feel, the Inside, Move the Outside, which alludes to how big muscles of the body help the small muscles of the body. In a way, the pitcher isn't moving his arm. The body is rotating, helping him use his arm. When a quarterback's being tackled, he can't use his body, so he's just using his hand and arm. So my insights were that the body and the arms and the club work together. And that's where see it and feel it, the inside move the outside.
I first heard you at a PGA seminar in 1977.
Yes, golf has been very kind to me. I get to go all over the world. In a few weeks, I go to France, and I've probably been to 30 PGA sections in the country and five continents. I've been very fortunate.
Your thesis is really what led to me getting back in the business. And over the years, it's changed for me. It's gone through a complete paradigm shift, and you had a transformation yourself. Can you talk a little bit about that as far as education, learning versus teaching?
Sure. It was at a time when I had received some recognition as a coach, and some of the players I was working with I didn't think were reaching their potential. I had this aha moment, and the aha moment was that the information base I was using was adequate.
Okay.
But I didn't know anything about learning. So for the last 20-plus years, I've been studying the process of learning. Instruction is a combination of information and learning. And I was only using one side of the coin. I had this information that I was comfortable with, and I had spent a great deal of time and resources watching other coaches, reading a lot of books, and I was fairly comfortable with the information I was using. And then, when I started to study learning, 90 hours of courses at Harvard's Connecting Mind Brain, to Education Institute, another 80 hours of courses at Teaching with the Main and Mind, to spending time at UCLA's Learning Lab, I started to recognize I was slow to learn what I call the other side of the coin, the learning process. And in a teaching environment, people are usually checking themselves before they do something. In our business, they may go out to the first team, is my grip right, is this right, is that right? In a learning environment, we bake the pie or make the pot or do something and then evaluate it after it's completed. And then what you have to interject is that the big lie is not the checks in the mail. The big lie is consistency, and consistency doesn't exist. When you miss a foul shot, it's really your teacher. When you miss a putt, it's really your teacher in a learning environment. In a teaching environment, you criticize yourself or you try to find an answer. If I bake a pie and I burn it, I can't fix it. It has to be redeveloped, recreated. If I miss a putt, if I miss a shot, it's over. It can't be fixed. People in teaching environments are trying to fix things, which creates a negative situation in your nervous system. It's not proactive. As opposed to missing the putt, learning from it, and then create something different. Creating and developing. In a learning environment, a 30 handicapper isn't broken. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. It just isn't developed yet. In a teaching environment, they get a list of many, many things, which I did for years and received awards for, telling people what was wrong. That shuts down the learning process. People become frustrated and intimidated by negative information. So I call it learning positive golf based on how the brain learns, which is through positive reinforcement. Nothing to fix. There's nothing to correct. There's things to develop. They're not developed yet. Then when you're playing golf, you play golf from one shot at a time, or there's a great new book out called Golf from Point A, by Susie Myers, who's a coach out in Tucson. And golf from point A is each shot doesn't have a history or a future. It's just that shot. If you play golf and you shot 80, it would be like baking 80 separate apple pies. So you're not concerned about past successes or past poor outcomes. It's just that one shot at a time in a learning environment.
You know, I've learned so much over, you know, I tell people I relate to individuals through my life in golf because it's the only thing that I know. And the past is done. You can't recreate it, like you just said, Michael. Yep. And the future hadn't happened yet, so all you really have is the present. And we certainly...
So you can't predict your score on the first tee, and every shot's a surprise.
And how many people do that?
You know, it would be like asking Nolan Ryan how he pitched a no-hitter.
Bingo.
He just went out and pitched and had a good day. And in the teaching environment is looking for a definite answer.
There isn't one.
There isn't, no. I split them up into a method approach and a process approach.
Okay.
In a method has a prescribed outcome and a specific direction. A process is flexible and portable. Every shot, nobody ever has the same shot. Nobody ever makes the same golf swing twice,
Thank you.
You, me, and Ben Hogan. Every shot is different. So, we make the swing. I call it swinging the weight of the club.
Yeah.
The big idea in basketball is shoot up. The big idea in tennis is get it over the net. The big idea in business is make a profit. The big idea in golf is swing the weight of the club. You know, how did you shoot 65? When a reporter asks somebody that question, they have to make up an answer to be polite.
Yeah.
It was golf. You know, how did you miss that shot on the such and such hole? That's golf. Golf is inconsistent. The industry has promoted perfection over participation, and it's hurting us.
I love it.
When people try to be consistent and not accept the shot that's not so hot as just part of the process, it hurts their ability to grow and develop as a player.
Because we are rooted in, as you just said, Michael, we're rooted in negativity, we're rooted in perfection, and
yes.
I don't know how many years, well, clear back to my reentry, you know, if you live to be 100, you're never going to swing the golf club the same way twice. It is not going to happen. And, you know, if there were 13 golf swings like Freddie Couples, this is an opinion, there would be 13 different golf swings because the brain perceives motion differently. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. When... And each situation is different. I'm not anti-technical.
Right.
Technology is very good for fitting golf clubs. And because of the way some technology is presented, it suppresses learning.
Sure.
The way things are presented makes the difference.